Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 3. In verse 18, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth, and reassure our heart before Him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows everything. This is one of the most provocative statements in the New Testament, I think, because it takes us Christians to a point where we feel generally comfortable about something, and then it says, hey, how comfortable should you be feeling here? He says, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. So essentially he's saying, what is the evidence of your love? Or are you simply saying that you love? But if you're saying that you love and you don't actually love, what is that? That's nothing. So he's saying love in truth, love in deed, but don't just say you love, actually love. It's very easy for us to claim love. It's very easy for us to claim God loves us. It's very easy for us to say we love one another. But really, what's the evidence of that? Because if it has no evidence, then how do you know it's even real? And the thought here is, it's not real. So don't just say you love, but actually love. Love in deed and love in truth. But don't just say you love, because that's pointless. 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3 tells us that it doesn't matter what kind of gifts, it doesn't matter what kind of sacrifice we make, it doesn't matter what we're about. If we don't have love, we have absolutely nothing. This is a very important thing for us to remember, because our relationship to God is a love relationship. And so if we have this relationship to God, what's the evidence? If we're claiming that we love, but we don't actually love in deed or truth, then do we actually love? And John is suggesting, no, we don't. The first way this manifests itself is toward ourselves. We love in 1 John 4:19 because He first loved us. So, why do you claim to have received the love of God? And he said, the evidence of this is that if your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. If you're walking around with unbona fide guilt, if you're walking around condemned, God is greater than your heart. Have you actually received the love of God if the love of God has not taken over your frame of reference toward yourself? He's not even talking about other people here. He's talking about yourself. God is greater than your heart. What did you do? Is it plaguing you? God is greater than your heart. What did somebody do to you? Is it plaguing you? God is greater than your heart. So do you love in truth and do you love indeed? And one of the ways you're going to recognize it is, what is your relationship to condemnation? What's your relationship to judgment? Do you accept somebody's judging you? Do you judge yourself? God is greater than your heart. Do you accept condemnation of yourself or from somebody else? God is greater than your heart. So what is your relationship to these things? God is greater. Or is your relationship to the love of God, where you know that because God loves you, He has cleansed you by His blood, and you know in your own heart with absolute confidence that there is no condemnation because the blood of Christ took care of you? Do you actually know this? If you know it, you won't be condemned. You won't judge or be judged. You won't go out and condemn people, because God is greater than your frame of reference in the natural man. In 1 John 4, 9-10, God's love was revealed in the fact that He sent His Son to be the propitiation of our sins. His Son was the perfect sacrifice for us. There's His manifestation of love. Where's yours? Did you receive that as an intimate personal reality for your life and specifics? You need to love in truth. You need to love in truth. That means if the Word of God, which is truth in John 17:17, says, you need to appropriate that toward yourself. Yes, you need to appropriate that toward others as well, but it all starts with appropriating it for yourself, because if you can't receive it, there's no way you're going to give it. So you need to receive it for yourself. When God says, I love you with an everlasting love, do you believe that as a personal truth? Do you believe that He's speaking to you? Do you believe that He had you in mind when He said it? And then there's those people who say, well, He said that to Israel. I mean, I wasn't even around you. That was Jeremiah, the prophet, speaking to Israel. You know what? None of that makes a hill of beans a difference. He was speaking to you. He chose you before the foundation of the world in Ephesians 1:4. He chose you. So that necessarily means He loves you with an everlasting love. Do you actually believe it? Do you love in truth? Do you love yourself in truth? A lot of people hate themselves. And when they hate themselves, they manifest all kinds of negativity. It's all because they hate themselves. They don't love in truth. They see themselves in the natural way according to the old sin nature. They don't see themselves according to the way God sees them. And they'll accuse, therefore, other people of seeing them that way, whether they do or not, because they're projecting that onto them. That's how they see themselves. That is their frame of reference. They can't comprehend another frame of reference because their frame of reference is established in being negative toward themselves. You need to let God break your frame of reference. And let Him give you His frame of reference. He's the one who says, I love you with an everlasting love. That means it hasn't changed. That means it never grew. It never diminished. That means it's always been there. It will always be there. It's there now. That doesn't change. Do you love yourself in truth? Do you believe that the blood of Christ has really cleansed you from all sin? Do you believe that no matter what mistakes you may make or may have made, the blood of Christ takes care of it? Do you believe that you have become one person with Christ at the cross? And do you believe that you find your life through the cross in Galatians 2:20? What do you believe about the love of God? Frankly, most people don't believe the love of God. They'll hear it, they'll amen it, they don't believe it. They don't appropriate it. You know, if you don't appropriate doctrine, doctrine becomes useless. You have to appropriate it. It's like the doctor says you have cancer. Oh, that's what it is. Okay, thanks for letting me know. And then you do nothing. But you think to yourself, by virtue of knowing that you have cancer, that somehow you've resolved it. Oh, I have cancer. That's what it is. That's why I feel lousy. I have cancer. Okay, good to know. Well, what are you going to do about it? What do you mean what I'm going to do about it? I know I have cancer. That's all I need to know. That's how a lot of Christians are toward the Word of God. Oh, I know God loves me. That's great. That's good to know. Well, what are you going to do about it? Well, what do you mean I'm going to do about it? God loves me. That's all there is, right? That's what I do about it. God loves me. You don't get it. You don't love according to truth. You can't be negative toward yourself and have the love of God. You can't be negative toward anyone and have the love of God. But you can't be negative toward yourself and have the love of God. You can't have a bad self-image and the love of God simultaneously. If you have a bad self-image, you're not properly related to the love of God. You're not loving in truth. You need to love in truth. Oh, well, that's good to know. So what are you going to do about it? Well, what do you mean what I'm going to do about it? That's good to know. See, no appropriation. No appropriation means all of this is useless. Only when you appropriate it does it become meaningful. Otherwise, it's just information, and that information does no good because it just sits there as information. Love and truth. Simple as that. Love and truth. Love yourself in truth. Love other people in truth. Love and truth. In 1 John 4:16, it says, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. You see, he loved in truth. God didn't say, oh, I love them, so what are you going to do about it? What do you mean I'm going to do about it? I love them, so what are you going to do? I don't have to do anything. I love them. No, he appropriated. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. There's the appropriation. I love them. What are you going to do? I'm going to lay down my life for them. I'm God. They're sinners. I'm going to lay my life down for them. I'm going to cleanse them with my blood. That's what I'm going to do about it. You see, appropriation. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? If you say, I love, and you have no appropriation of that love, how does love abide in you? Now, that can mean physical needs, but it doesn't have to mean physical needs. It can mean any kind of a need. What do people need? It also means friendship. You see somebody who has no friends and you befriend them. It means kindness. It means mercy, forgiving, understanding, encouragement. Can mean correction, but in a very kind and gentle way. It means compassion. It means gentleness and faithfulness. Somebody has no friends. Well, you befriend them. You're a friend to them. You're kind to them. You love them. You show them mercy. You're faithful to that friendship. It's astonishing how few people are faithful to friendship. But it's true. Some are. Not many. Some are. And I don't mean in a sentimental way. I just mean they're actually faithful friends in the way that the Bible describes friendship. They're faithful friends. A friend loves at all times. Appropriation is required for loving in truth. Appropriation is required for loving in truth. One of the things that draws people to Christian churches is that there's a sense of community there. But you're not going to have a healthy community where there's no love. Then you may have a social organization, but not a real community. But churches that actually have love, there becomes this real sweet sense of community. One that's part of another. And this is really healthy. Why? Because it's love according to truth. In 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. This is serious. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love our brother. And the person that does not love abides, remains, is still in death. So the evidence of your salvation is this love. How seriously do you take God's love? We're commanded to love in John 13:34. How seriously do you take God's love? Our life with Christ is based in the commandment. The relationship of the church to Christ is in love. Jesus said, I came to give you a new commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. This is our relationship to Christ. In 1 John 15:12, this is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. What did he command me? Love. Our relationship with him is one of unity. That's what came at the cross. It's not one of the law. And there's not a new law given to us, except for a new commandment. And that new commandment is the whole basis of our relationship to God. Jesus said in Matthew 22:37-39, love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, and strength. Love one another as I have loved you. There's the great commandment. That's premier. That's it right there. There's your relationship. It's all about love. The church, love one another as I have loved you. By this you know you have a friendship, a deep relationship with me, because you love one another as I have loved you. That's required if I'm going to have a relationship with God. And I'm saved on the basis of that relationship. John 1:17, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. The just will live by faith. Righteousness speaks of a relationship. The relationship that God has with me, mind you, it's the righteousness of God. The relationship God has with me that brings me into right standing with God is revealed when I receive faith through his word, and by faith I apply what I hear, because I mixed faith with what I hear, and now the just live by faith. There is my justification before God. It's in the relationship. The relationship is a love relationship. So when God says, you know that you pass from death unto life because you love the brothers, how seriously do you take it? Do you even have a relationship with God is the real question, and that's what he's bringing out here. Do you even have a relationship to God? If you do, it'll be revealed in that you love the brothers. If you don't love the brothers, you're still in death. You haven't been made alive in Christ, in Ephesians chapter 2. You're still in death. How seriously do you take this? Christians are strange in some cases. They really are. Best people on the planet, but sometimes quite strange. And I'll tell you why. We claim things without evidence. I'm a Christian. Do you love the brethren? That's beside the point. That is the point. It's not beside the point. What's your evidence? Is there love? Well, no, but I do a lot of things. I go to church 10 times a week and I get into everything they have and I do all this and I sing and I do that and I'm fire and all the programs, I'm part of the programs. And by the way, I cast out demons. And Jesus still says in Matthew 7:23, depart from me, I never knew you, you are workers of iniquity. He's not interested in your production, he's interested in your love. The whole thing is based in loving and truth. Sit right there. The whole thing is based in loving and truth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12, when we are told what we are rewarded on is gold, silver, and precious stones. If we build with those, we receive a reward because those things aren't burned up. They're all love. Gold is faith, silver is redemption, precious stones is fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:6 tells us that faith works by love. John 3:16 tells us that redemption is a love issue. Galatians 5:22 tells us that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. It's all love. He is love. It's all love. And I'm not talking about emotions. I'm talking about truth. Love and truth. Love is patient and kind. Are you patient and kind? Love and truth. You see, this is something that really can throw people for a loop. Love does not envy. Do you envy? It doesn't boast. It's not arrogant. Do you think you're a little bit better than the other person? I don't think I'm better than they are. Are you kind? Well, I'm not always kind. Then you're arrogant. If you're not kind, you are necessarily arrogant by definition. Because you think you have the righteousness that's greater than God's because God is kind. You think you can go beyond what God says. Certainly you think you're greater than that person because how else can you stand in that kind of judgment of someone where you'd be unkind to them, impatient with them? You're greater than the love of God. So yeah, I would say you're arrogant. Exceedingly so, so much so, you might not be saved. Because love is the indicator of salvation. Do you insist on your own way? It's not love. Are you irritable, resentful? Do you think evil? Now there's an interesting one, think evil. James 4:11 says, don't speak evil. And here it says, you don't even think evil. You see, that's love. That's love in truth. Do we love in truth? Patient, kind. Don't envy, don't boast, not arrogant, not rude. Not going to insist on my own way. Fine, you want your way, you can have your way. Not irritable, not resentful. Don't think anything evil of you. I don't rejoice in wrongdoing, I rejoice in truth, then I can say I love. There's no pleasure in wrongdoing. There is pleasure in truth. Do I love? Do I love in truth? If I don't love in truth, I don't love at all. Do I love? 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7 define it for you. Do you love? Or do you just say you love? In Romans 12:10, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do you love? Do you have brotherly affection? Christians are hung up on agape, and agape is vitally important. Yes, that is God's quality of love. But agape produces a brotherly affection. Some scholars believe that brotherly affection is actually the highest form of love because it is agape in action. So, do you love with brotherly affection? Or do you not? Do you show honor? So many people are unkind to their family members, spouses. Husband berates the wife ridicules the husband. There's no love there. Because they don't take love seriously. They don't love in truth. Love in truth. Don't claim love if you're not going to love in truth because you're just fooling yourself. You're not fooling God and you're not fooling anyone else. But you are fooling yourself. Love in truth. It's the only way you can love. It doesn't mean that you're satisfying people's flesh. It means that you put them in the right place before God. They take the place they have with God in your perspective. Their soul is valuable to you because it's valuable to the Savior. That's how you honor. In Romans 12:13, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality, love, and truth. Bless those who persecute you. Requires a bit of humility, this love issue. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. When somebody is blessed in some way in the body of Christ, let's say in your own church, whoever you are who's listening on the internet, let's say in your own church, and somebody receives some kind of a blessing, does that really bless you and build you up and make you just so happy for them? Or are you like, oh, okay, that's nice, good for them. And if somebody suffers some loss, does your heart break? Somebody falls into sin, does your heart break? Somebody struggles, does your heart break? Or do you say, bummer? Love and truth. I'm not saying you have to get all wishy-washy and gushy and sentimental and all that. But do you identify with people? That's what it's really saying. Do you identify with them? Do you identify with them to have joy when they have joy and sorrow when they have sorrow? That's what it's really talking about. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the humble. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. That's where your mind should be, in the things that are honorable. Sometimes it happens in churches that you see somebody who's struggling and you kind of look down on them. Some people do that. This one isn't along quite so far yet. Oh, how haughty. Puffed up. This one isn't quite there yet. Not like me and my gang. That's really puffed up. But you'll see this. You'll see this. And instead of thinking in Philippians 4:8, they think puffed up. Instead of thinking whatever is honorable and beautiful and lovely and true and just and all the beautiful things about the soul before God, instead of thinking that, how much did God love that soul that He actually sacrificed Himself for them? Oh, well, they're not as far along as I am. Somebody comes struggling. You don't know why they're struggling. Somebody comes struggling. They don't look so good when they're struggling. Most people don't. I remember my wife talked to an old man one time. He was a Christian. She saw him in a parking lot. And she said to him, "How are you?" And he was very sad, very upset. It was so easy to judge somebody like that. Oh, well, you're not quite right with God. He had just lost his wife. They were married like 50 years. And he said, "I just miss her." You know, it's so easy to blow people like that off just by the way they look. They look like they're struggling. And after all, we Christians don't struggle. Puffed up. Just love people. Love people in truth. Sometimes you have people who are afraid to associate with those who aren't doing so well. Aren't those the ones that are supposed to receive the greatest honor? The comely members don't need it. The uncomely ones do. But you know, God came to save those who are lost. Those who are healthy don't need a physician, but those who are ill do. Can you imagine if you went to a hospital? Oh, you're sick. Get away from me. But yet sometimes that's how Christians can act. Not all of them by any measure, but enough of them to make a difference. Why is it that people sometimes don't sense the love of God in their churches? And I'm not talking about the emotions. I'm talking about the life of it. Well, maybe people need to love. Somebody comes into a church for the first time. Does anybody even notice? Except for the usher. You see, that's important. Jesus came to meet us. He didn't say, meet me halfway. He came to meet us. We'll meet him halfway at the rapture. But the first time around, he came all the way here. That's how we need to love people in truth. We meet them where they are with the love of God. We don't ask them to meet us halfway. Well, you don't understand. This is how that person is. And they're going to have to change before I can meet them. Then you're not going to love in truth. Love people in truth. In Luke 6:35, love your enemies. I think that's one of the best tests of love. Is it real? Love your enemies. It's easy to love your friends. Love your enemies. Don't have to like them. It's not emotions. Be patient and kind and think no evil of your enemies. Sometimes people can do the patient and kind, but the thinking, oh, evil, that's a challenge. Thinking no evil? But do you know what they did? How do I not think evil? Patient and kind. Your reward will be great. You see, God is not indifferent to when we love. You love in truth, and your reward will be great. Your reward is going to be gold, silver, precious stones, all of them on the foundation of love. There's your reward. You're going to get great gold, great silver, great precious stones. Your reward will be great. And you will be the sons of the Most High in Romans 8:29. You will be conformed to the image of His Son. For He is kind to the unthankful and evil. He loves in truth. He's not looking for them to be right or them to be good or them to give him something back. He loves in truth. He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. He's kind to them. He loves in truth. Therefore, be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not and you won't be judged. Matthew 7:1 and 2, by the way, you choose your judgment. If you judge with mercy, you receive mercy. If you judge without it, good luck, because that's all you're going to have going for you. And that's not even real. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Now, that one's a little tricky for people. It's not that God doesn't forgive those who want to forgive. The blood of Christ cleanses from all sins. But you'll never be released from what people do to you unless you forgive. And God enforces that because He is serious when He says love and truth. Give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, it will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. You know, with God, whatever you give, He will make sure that's what you receive. Because that's your choice. He's offered it to you. You love because He first loved. But He doesn't want you to keep it for yourself. He wants it to go through you. You first. And so if you're simply a container that never spills out, you're not going to get much. What you choose to give is what God will make sure that you receive. That's how it works with God. What you choose to give is what God will make sure that you receive. If you choose to judge, God will make sure that you get judged. If you choose to condemn, God will make sure you are condemned. If you choose to be merciful, God will make sure that you receive mercy. If you choose to be kind, God will make sure you receive kindness. If you choose to love, God will make sure you receive love. God will go with what you choose. This is why it's so surprising sometimes when you see people who aren't loving, because they've chosen what they will receive. It's their choice. You choose how God will deal with you. God gave the command. How seriously do you take it? He said, love in truth. Do you? Or do you love in human love? What you define as love, which is nothing more than iniquity. That love in truth command, that's a big one. That's a big one. That's going to make all the difference for you in time, and it's going to make all the difference for you in eternity. So take it seriously. That's a big one. Amen. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me, so I can have eternal life with you. Amen.